Our examination of Mark's gospel, looking for and understanding this gift that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, takes us into the explanation of the parables that Jesus used so often to communicate the truth and life of his kingdom. So today and for the rest of the summer, we will be looking at these different parables and trying to interpret the truth that God has for us. Today's message, written for June 25th of 2023, the purpose of the parables, is taken from Mark 4, 10 to 20. The purpose of the parables is a critical understanding of how to interpret the rest of the parables that we will look at all summer long. My outline, point number one, spiritual farmers, two, four soils, three, the worries of this life. Spiritual farmers, four soils, worries of life. Here's my introduction. We will be investigating the truth of Christ's first parable in Mark's gospel today. We started our study on this parable last week, so we'll start with a quick review. And note, next week we'll be examining this same parable, and it's so important that we will have a review then also. So Jesus taught many parables of what we would call short story illustrations of truth. For Mark, this parable, the seeds and the sower, is the key to understanding the rest of Jesus' parables. So we all understand how a key works in your car, or if you're lucky enough to have a motorcycle, or your boat, or your house, or your safety deposit box. The key opens and gives access. That's what Mark's saying the understanding of this four soils parable does. And if I have that correct, and I think I do, paying critical attention here is really important. These verses in Mark's gospel are among the most difficult of all in the New Testament because they explain Jesus' rationale for teaching in parables. So several commentaries I read said that these are difficult passages, and it's critical we take a look at them. There are two different interpretations of the parable, so people are divided as to what is the meaning. It may be that Jesus' purpose in using parables was to deliver judgment against hard-hearted listeners. We just studied Revelations, and it could very well be that's the reason he speaks in parables. So that's how we viewed this parable last week. Of the two different views of explaining this parable, last week we looked at it that way. And my message is online. You can go back and check that out and put the two of them together and see what you believe. But there is a second way to view this parable that is equally valuable. It describes different possible phases in a believer's life. And that's how we'll view the parable this week. So last week it was life and death with somebody believing and being born again. Today the view is that these four soils may be different times in our life. So here's our gospel for today, Mark 4, 10 to 20. Later, Jesus was alone. The 12 asked him about the stories. So did the others around him. Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but to outsiders, everything is told by using stories." Here's a quote from Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. "They will see, but never know what is being seen. They will hear, but never understand. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Again, that's Isaiah 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this story? How then will you understand any of this kind of story? The seed of the farmers and the plants, the seed the farmer plants is God's message. What is seed scattered on a path like? The message is planted there. The people hear the message. Then Satan comes. He takes away the message that has been planted in them. And what is seed scattered on the rocky places like? The people hear the message. At once they receive it with joy, but they have no root, so they last only a short time. They quickly fall away from the faith when trouble or suffering comes because of the message. And what is the seed scattered among the thorns like? The people hear the message, but then the worries of this life come to them. Wealth comes with false promises. The people also long for other things. All those are kinds of things that crowd in the message would hear. They keep from producing fruit. And what is the seed scattered on good soil like? The people hear the message. They accept it. They produce a good crop, 30, 60, even 100 times more than the farmer had planted. And that's the end of Mark's gospel. So your outline, the spiritual farmers, is point number one. I like the job description, spiritual farmers. Any of us who spread the gospel are qualified. Living in the farmland where I do, I am a spiritual farmer. I spread spiritual seed, hoping for growth in others. Monday morning, it was around 4:15 when I opened my application study Bible, and when I read the first commentary note, it was a really nice start for my new week. I copied that section just so you could understand. Quote, the parable in Mark 4:14-20 should encourage spiritual farmers, those who teach, preach, and lead others. The farmer sowed good seed, but not all seed sprouted. Even the plants that grew had varying yields. Don't be discouraged if you do not always see results as you faithfully teach the word. Some people do not understand God's truth because they are not ready for it. God reveals truth to people who will act on it. People who will make a visible change in their lives. When you talk with people about God, be aware that they will not understand if they are not ready yet. Be patient, taking every chance to tell them more of the truth about God, and praying that the Holy Spirit will open their minds and hearts to receive the truth and then act on it. Productivity is in God's hands. That's the end of my study Bible commentary. You can see how this commentary was God's encouragement for a new day, a new week, and to write a new message. It was very encouraging. So to set the context for this scripture, we're not on the lakeside anymore. We're probably in Capernaum in Peter's home, and there's a small group of disciples and believers. The NIV translation of Mark 4:10 reads like this. When Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him. This is the first mention of the 12 since they were chosen way back in chapter 3. A on your outline. The secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The secrets is your blank. Truthfully, thankfully, God does give the secrets of the kingdom to people. He does give us the secrets to understand this kingdom of God. This is one of the challenging views between what Jesus did then and what we do now. Jesus distinguishes two audiences, those who believe in him and those who are outside. My Holman Study Bible notes had this. In the New Testament, this word mystery refers not to exotic knowledge or secret rites that are discoverable by human effort, but are hidden and can only be known if God reveals it. That's the end of that quote. So their bent was that the only way anyone can understand this secret is if God opens your mind to it, your spirit, your soul to it. See on your outline, the farmer sows the word, the gospel. So you have two blanks, farmer and the word. So Jesus is the farmer, and he's sowing the word of the gospel. Spiritual farmers speak the truth of the gospel every opportunity or any situation that is available. D on your outline, the people are like seed. So you have people and seed. So you had the farmer and the seed being the gospel. Now, people are the seed. All start as a seed. All of us do. Some grow into a young plant. Some become mature and produce fruit. But the truth is, out in my garden, not every cucumber seed that I planted sprouted and grew. Now, there's enough of them that did sprout and grow that, you know, in a month I'll have more cucumbers than I can eat, probably. But not all of them did well. So the outline, the purpose of the parables, we took a look at spiritual farmers, point one. Now, point two, the four soils. If we look at the four soils from a different perspective, what would happen? So we looked at it from one perspective last week, and let's look at it from a different perspective this week. The four soils are in Mark's Gospel 4:10-20, and they may represent four different ways people respond to God's message. So last week, when we looked at it, it was a life and death of people accepting the gospel. Here, this view is it's four different ways people, after they're believers, can respond to the gospel. Usually we think that Jesus is talking about four different kinds of people. And he is really doing that, but Jesus may also have been talking about different times or phases in a person's life. What if that's true? What if it is different phases of a person's life? Or he may be speaking of how willing we receive God's message in some areas of our lives and resist it in others. I think this one's probable, that what he's talking about in these four soils may be him speaking of how willingly we receive the truth of God's message in all areas of our life. But honestly, there are some areas that we resist. Yes? What if this is true? For example, you may be open to God's word for your future. That could be true, but closed concerning how you spend your money. You may be able to trust God with your future, but my money is my money, sir. How many respond like good soil to God's demand for worship, but like rocky soil to his demand to give to needy people who are too lazy to work? Both of those are things we're commanded to do, worship and give to the needy without paying attention to why it is needed. But I have to admit, it is distracting to give to people that just will not get up and go to work like many of us do. We must strive to be like good soil in every area of our lives at all times. Being good soil, that's what we should try to do. That's what we should strive for. That's what we should choose to set as our attitude. We will be good soil in all areas as God explains these parables through the rest of Mark's gospel. Yes? Can you agree with that? Good soil, something to strive for. A on your outline, some people are like seed among the path. Some people are like seed along the path, and path is your plank. These people receive the truth of the gospel with joy and are enthusiastic, emotional, but many have trouble with the superficial response to the gospel that does not take into account the cost involved. My paraphrase, when the thrill is gone, so am I. There are people that get really excited about the gospel, and they're lit up about it. But as soon as the going gets tough, they get going somewhere else. B on your outline. Some people are like seeds sown on rocky places. So this blank is rocky. Some people have a heart that's hard, and some people have a soft heart. The hard-hearted people take no root. The gospel never takes root in the individual soul and never transforms his life. There's only a temporarily surface-like change. It never goes deep enough to change and transform their lives. See on your outline, some people are like seeing sown among the thorns. So now the blank is thorns. We've looked at path, we've looked at rocky, now let's look at thorns. This can happen to true believers. Andrew and Martha struggled with this issue of focus. Andrew and Martha, Mary's sister, often struggled with the how-tos and the what-ifs and this must get done, and they were so distracted, scurrying after things, that they missed what was available from God's Spirit. Worries about this life, the false sense of security brought on by the desire for things, like the first century disciples, just as they do us today. So there's not much difference between the distraction of the thorns in the first century. Not much different than what we experience today. It's different toys. It may be faster and shinier. But the reality is that same temptation and desire was there. How easy it is for our daily routines to become overcrowded. A life packed with doubts can drown out God's word and leaves us unfaithful to Him. So it's really easy to get your schedule so packed, I can do all that, I can double task this, that you lose focus on God's face, lose focus on the presence of the Holy Spirit, lose focus on what God is speaking to you in this, and you're just overwhelmed with things, drowned in doubts. So as best you can, stay free from these distractions, so you can hear God when He speaks. Can you see how this is true and can affect you, these thorns? D on your outline. Some people are like seed on good soil, and good soil are your two blanks. These people hear, accept, and bear from a rich, surrendered life to the good news of the gospel. So good news people, good soil people, have a rich life of surrender to God. You see, when a seed is in the ground must surrender to the growth of the plant. If the top of the ground stays so hard-hearted that the seed can't sprout up through, it dies. But the soil that is soft-hearted, is rich in surrender, allows the plant to grow up through it and become all that God wants. The Greek language would explain this as a continuing action, not as an event, but as a continuing life attitude and action. Believers, in contrast to unbelievers, hear God's word because God allows them to hear it. The only reason you're sitting here listening to this is because God's Spirit is nudging you to. And the only way you're going to walk away from this with anything of value is because from a sincere heart, God allows you to hear it. Because it's God who opens one's heart and their mind, this acceptance will be a continuing action that transforms people's lives. That result is they produce spiritual fruit. So, our outline, spiritual farmers, four soils. Now look at the worries of this life in more detail. The Message translation of Mark 18 and 19 read like this. The seed cast on weeds represents ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they've heard, and nothing comes of it. That's the end of Mr. Peterson's translation. A on your outline, the ones who hear the kingdom news. So your blank is here. These people hear the kingdom news. These people hear in their soul God's call. They respond to it. They hear it. They respond to it. The ones who are overwhelmed. So overwhelmed is your big blank. Simply stated, this problem is a lack of focus on God's face. That's what it simply is understood as. Probably these ones are trying to figure it out on their own. People with worries, doubts, and fears and struggling with the thorn relationships are trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future, second guessing what they did in the past, and trying to figure out a way and work up an agenda for how they're going to make it work today. But the reality is, what they've simply done is lost the focus of seeking God's face. If we honestly seek God, truly, and we want to see and experience his face, his hand will be easy to trust. If you're looking him in the eyes, you're not going to have any trouble trusting what his hand is up to. See on your outline, stress strangles what they heard. So your two S words, stress, strangled. There are many cares we experience in this world. There are countless distractions in this age. It's amazing how many things you can worry about, how many things you can desire. Countless distractions in this age. And because of the internet and the social systems that we have, they're just more readily available today than ever before. A preoccupation with temporal issues of this present age blinds a person of any serious consideration of the gospel. If you're preoccupied with what's going on around here, you're probably not going to be focused on the gospel. And James writes more about that in chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. So here's my conclusion. After studying this section of scripture, my conclusion reflects what truth and understanding I found in the study of this message. Excuse me. The secret of parables revealed a mystery in the New Testament that refers to something previously unknown, but is revealed in the New Testament. So what was I trying to say there? There have been kingdom truths that have been around since Adam, and they are written into the Old Testament. And when Jesus came, he gave us illustrations of understanding of those truths that none of the prophets before him had. So things that were there, people didn't understand. But because of what he's doing, we can understand these truths in the New Testament. This is revealed to those who believe, yet it remains concealed to those who reject Christ as their Savior and his gospel. So they're revealed to believers, but they're concealed to unbelievers. To those who do not believe, of followers of Christ, things are sealed. They don't get it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so humbled before you. You are such a gracious and loving and caring God. It's amazing how patient you are with us, how gentle and kind you are with us. So today, as we look at this parable of the seeds and the sower, there's two different big ideas of what it may mean. And I've tried to explain the two of them, but I'm really not that good at it, sir. So would you please take your Holy Spirit and reveal to the folks listening the truths that you want them to get, apply to their life, and let it grow and transform their lives for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Joy, my King. so